Five Love Languages is the name of a Christian book on marriage. And its point is we all feel loved in one of five ways. Some people feel loved when they receive gifts, a bunch of flowers, an expensive birthday present, a special night out. Some people feel loved by physical touch, by a hug or a kiss, or holding hands, or just a touch on the shoulder at the right time, says you're loved. Then there are people who feel loved when you tell them, when you speak words of affirmation. That's what makes them feel special. Words like, that dress really suits you, or you did a great job with that presentation, or I love the way you're so organised when you pay the bills. And then for other people, it's not so much words or gifts as just being there. Quality time communicates love. Long conversations over coffee, hanging out in the garden, long walks in the country. And then finally, there are people who don't want to hear it. That doesn't mean anything to them. They want to see it. For them, actions speak louder than words. They feel loved with acts of service. To people like this, nothing says I love you more than changing a dirty nappy or doing the washing up. Five love languages. And so what this means in your marriage or in any friendship really is that you need to say I love you in a language that the other person actually understands and that connects with them. Otherwise they may not hear you and they may not feel loved. But whatever your love language is for human relationships, John says there's one love language that all Christians understand. This is how God says, I love you, to his children. Chapter 4, verse 9, he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He showed love, and he wants us to receive it, to know the love and to trust it. There's a little verse there in verse 16, right in the middle of all these other verses about love. And look at what it says, verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. It's just a little verse, but it's very important. God has shown us love, and he wants us to know it and to trust it. Especially in the face of the false teachers. Remember, that's why John wrote this letter. Teachers who want us to trust something else, to experience something else. And so what John is doing in chapter 4 is showing us how to know God's love and how to trust it. How to experience it. And then how to show that we know it in the way we reflect his love and live out his love. God's love language is the giving of his Son as a sacrifice to save us. John wants us to make sure we hear it, that we feel loved, and that we know the confidence before God of loving other people and being loved by him. That's what he's doing here. The first part of knowing and trusting God's love is to know the God who loves us. What sort of God loves you? How's he shown it? Well, again and again, John carefully describes what's true about God so that the people are not deceived, so that they will know it truly. Who's the God who loves you? Verse 2, the one who sent Jesus Christ in the flesh. That's the God who loves you. False teachers won't tell you that God is like that. Verse 9 and 10, we've already seen. Who's the God who loves you? He's the one who sent his one and only Son as an atoning sacrifice. False teachers won't tell you that. Well, verse 14, who is the God who loves you? We've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. False teachers won't tell you that. Or chapter 5, verse 1, the God who loves you sent Jesus as the Christ. Verse 5, he's the Son of God. False teachers won't tell you that. Who's the God who loves you? Well, some people feel that God loves them because they see a pretty sunset, or they have a feeling of peace as they meditate at the ocean, by the ocean, or that God loves them because they have a new job, or they've had a baby, or because they're healthy or wealthy. But those things come, and they don't come to everybody. They come to God's children, and they come to those who are not his children. They're not a sign of God's love. But what is a clear communication of his love is the giving of his Son to save sinners who don't deserve it by dying in their place, and then to forgive their sin. And then he pours his Holy Spirit into them so that they can trust and obey and love him. That's what love is. Can you hear it? Do you understand that love language? Do you know it and trust it? Well, that's the first step. The first step of knowing and trusting God's love is to know the God who loves. The second step, the next step, is to make God's love complete by loving others. Well, what do I mean by that? Let me read verse 11 and 12 first, and then I'll explain it. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And it says a similar thing in verse 16. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us. Well, what does that mean? John's not saying that there's something missing from God's love, that it's lacking something. Like your teenage son half cleans his bedroom and then you come along and clean up the rest. That's not what we're doing with God's love. We're not completing it in that sense. But what John is saying is that God's purpose in loving us is that we respond by loving others. It's the goal or the intention of God's love. That word for complete is a word that's about finishing or hitting the target or crossing the finish line or achieving the end goal. So to complete God's love is to achieve the final goal he had for it. Now have a look there in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. He's saying that love begins with God, we receive it as his children, and then we pass it on. If you like, we're a mirror that receives it vertically and then reflects it horizontally. That's what I think John means in verse 10, where he says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. He's not saying we can't love God at all. I think what he means is, this is love, not that we love God first. I think what he means is that true love doesn't begin with us. We don't love God first. We can only love others truly, the way God loves others, when we are first loved by God. That's the order of things. Down in verse 19, where he says, we love because he first loved us. We love the way the moon gives light. The moon doesn't produce light on its own. It reflects the light that comes from the sun. And true love doesn't come from us. It shines from God onto us. And then we know it, and then we trust it, and then we reflect it on. That's how we complete God's love. Now, I'm not saying that only Christians can love. What I'm saying is that only Christians can love the way God loves. That is, love that gives everything to people who don't deserve it. It's just not human to love like that. It's not natural. And we can only do it when it's in response to being loved by God. When God reveals his love to us in Jesus and makes us his children and gives us his Spirit so that we have power to love and to know and to trust. And I think that's what chapter 5 verse 2 means. It all gets very confusing, these verses. It's confusing for us who have English as our first language. But chapter 5 verse 2, we expect it to be the other way round. Listen to what it says. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. We expect that it will say, this is how we know we love God, by loving his children. Love you can see shows the reality of love that you can't see. That's what we expect it to say. John has just said that back in chapter 3, verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, can't love God, who he hasn't seen. Loving or not loving children proves whether you love God or don't love God. But chapter 5, verse 2 has it the other way round. Did you notice? So I think John is saying something different. When we love God, when we understand the love that he has for us, and when we respond by obeying his children, only then can we completely love his children. If we don't know the sacrificial love that gives everything, then we can't give it to anybody else. You can only give something that's a pale imitation of true love, a twisted misrepresentation of it. Like at the circus where they have one of those wavy mirrors. You look in the mirror and it gives you a big head but no body, or maybe it gives you a tiny little head and a really big body. If you haven't received the undeserved, forgiving, giving everything love that comes from God, if you haven't recognised how unworthy you are to be forgiven, then you can't truly love undeserving people. You will only love conditionally. You will only love when you feel love back, or when they deserve it, or when you feel like loving. But John says that we complete or perfect God's love when we receive it in humble, repentant thanks, and then reflect it out when we love others the way we've been loved. And so, as verse 16 says, that's how we know and rely on the love God has for us. We know the truth of the one who loves us, we've experienced it, and then we've given it out. And then the third point, what all of that means is that we can be confident when judgment comes. That's the next step in verse 17. Love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. So is John saying that the basis of our confidence on judgment day is how good we are at loving? I hope not, because I wouldn't be very confident if that was the case. But look at how he continues. There is no fear in love, verse 18. Perfect love, or perfected love, drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. That word for perfect is the same one as complete. Complete or completed love drives out fear. So does that mean God's love, or does it mean our love? Well, yes, means both. Remember that it's God's love for us that's completed when we love others. That's what shows we're God's children. That shows that we are like him. And when that sort of received giving out love is on display, then we can have confidence and not fear on Judgment Day. The false teachers undermined that confidence. They didn't want people to know who God was and how he loved us. And so people don't know it and rely on it and reflect love as they should. So how are you going with that confidence at the thought of Judgment Day? Do you long for it? Do you long to see God face to face and to know completely the love he has for you that you've just caught a little glimpse of? To be confident on that day, it begins with loving truly your Christian brothers and sisters. The sort of love that gives everything to people who don't deserve it. How are you going with loving like that? Well, love like that begins with knowing and relying on God's love for us in Jesus. So focus on that. Sing about it. Write poems. Read books. Talk about God's love. Study the Bible in its breadth and its depth. Pray to know that love more and more. Listen to the words of this old hymn. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saint, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love, so sure, shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our loving Heavenly Father, this is love, not that we first loved you, but that you loved us, sent your only Son to die in the place of undeserving, ungrateful, sinful people. We pray that we might know it, that we might rely on that love, that we might reflect it, that we might live it out, that we may have confidence on the day of Christ for your honour and glory. Amen.